Hello and welcome to Diving Deep, part of the Fixing Healthcare podcast series. I am one of your hosts, Jeremy Corr, also host of the popular New Books in Medicine podcast and CEO of Executive Podcast Solutions. With me is Dr. Robert Pearl. For 18 years, Robert was the CEO of the Permanente Group, the nation's largest physician group. He is currently a Forbes contributor, a professor at both the Stanford University School of Medicine and Business, and author of the best-selling books Mistreated, Why We Think We're Getting Good Healthcare and Why We're Usually Wrong, and Uncaring, How the Culture of Medicine Kills Doctors and Patients. His new book, ChatGPT MD, How AI-Empowered Patients and Doctors Can Take Back Control of American Medicine, was published last month and is already number one on Amazon's Best New Books list. All profits go to Doctors Without Borders. If you want information on a broad range of healthcare topics, you can visit his website, robertpearlmd.com. Robbie, given the success of your book, dozens of listeners have asked if you'd be willing to update them on the advances since you finished writing about generative AI.
Jeremy, as you imply, the pace of change has been astonishing. Even over the 6 months it required for me to write ChatGPT MD, the tools available to make the use of generative AI easier have expanded dramatically. One of the most important recent advances was the announcement by OpenAI that its signature product, ChatGPT, is gaining memory. You may remember from a previous Fixing Healthcare podcast that I began to write the book by downloading it to GPT-4, the 1.2 million words that I'd written in the past. That was an arduous process. Times expanded memory would have saved hundreds of hours.
Can you tell listeners more about what OpenAI announced?
Jeremy, on its blog, the San Francisco-based artificial intelligence company explained, "We're testing the ability for ChatGPT to remember things you discuss." By that, OpenAI meant that the generative AI system will carry what it learns between chats, allowing it to provide more relevant responses.
How did people respond?
I would say that the response was a mixture of both excitement and apprehension. On one hand, people recognized how generative AI memory would drive ease of use and create more ways for users to apply this powerful technology. The initial media coverage focused on charming examples, like AI remembering a child's fondness for jellyfish. So when you were planning a birthday party or buying a holiday gift, it would be able to suggest a range of retail items in the genre. At the same time, there were a vast number of user concerns about bias and privacy.
Why do you think this expanded memory will be so important?
Although so far the national conversation has been about relatively inconsequential applications, I believe the biggest impact will be in healthcare. In fact, OpenAI's company blog hints at this application into medical care. It said, quote, "We're taking steps to assess and mitigate biases and steer ChatGPT away from proactively remembering sensitive information like your health details, unless you explicitly ask it to." But of course, once people recognize how this type of memory that will be able to retain their medical history, laboratory results, medication, allergies, and even their entire genetic sequence can quickly recognize how it can personalize their healthcare experience, including more specific diagnoses and treatment recommendations, they're going to flock to it. At that point, patients will explicitly request it. In this way, memory-powered AI will be a pivotal step toward transforming U.S. healthcare.
What do you mean by this?
Today, if a patient wants to obtain medical information, the most common way they do so is by going to a search engine like Google and putting in a complaint, such as shoulder pain, or by entering a diagnosis like diabetes. Jeremy, what they get is a list of links with general information. That is what I think of as knowledge. But what they don't get, it's expertise. And by that, I mean actionable information. Using their browser, they will find a long list of causes of shoulder pain or a broad discussion of diabetes. But they won't find details specific to their situation. As such, they will still have to rely on a clinician before they can figure out what's wrong and what should be done. Memory, included in a generative AI application, will offer personalized information. We'll be able to translate that information into specific recommendations that individuals can follow.
What's an example?
Jeremy, as you know, with my new book, ChatGPT MD, drawing broad interest, I've been a guest on dozens of podcasts over the past 2 weeks. On one last week, the host at the end of this session said to me, Dr. Pearl, you're a skier and a doctor. Let me ask you. My husband fell skiing 2 months ago with his arm over his head and slid about 100 feet. He still has pain in his shoulder and can't use his arm as well as on the other side. What do you think's wrong? I said to her, I think I know what it is, but why don't you go to ChatGPT, put in everything about the fall and his limitations now, and see what it recommends. She got back to me, Jeremy, a couple of days later, and she thanked me. She said ChatGPT diagnosed a torn rotator cuff injury, said that an MRI would be needed to discern the severity of the injury, and most likely surgery would be the treatment. She was glad that her husband then saw an orthopedic surgeon who confirmed the diagnosis, ordered the MRI, and did the repair. She said the doctor told her husband that had he waited many more months, it might have been difficult to fully repair the tear if the muscle had healed in a contracted position. Her story, to me, demonstrates the difference between knowledge and expertise. She obviously couldn't do the surgery, but she and her husband were able to consult the surgeon with a solid knowledge of what was happening. They could ask the right questions and move forward with confidence, hopefully to a great clinical outcome.
Can you provide some ideas about how memory will improve clinical outcomes and revolutionize U.S. medicine?
Jeremy, I'd be happy to do so. First, in the hands of clinicians, it has the potential to assist doctors in making more accurate diagnoses. Physicians are smart, well-educated, and dedicated, but despite wanting to do the best for their patients, multiple obstacles stand in the way. One major challenge is the sheer volume of knowledge required to customize and personalize medical care. For example, the human genome consists of approximately 3 billion base pairs of DNA, which if typed out as letters, ACGT, would fill about 200 New York City phone books. Another is that medical knowledge doubles every 73 days, making it almost impossible for physicians to keep up with innovative medical findings and newer guidelines for helping patients. A third hurdle is assessing a comprehensive medical record. With the average patient consulting 19 doctors during their lifetime, the medical records are often dispersed across numerous medical offices and health systems. The lack of interoperability among electronic health record systems compounds this issue, preventing clinicians, and by extension generative AI, from assessing a patient's complete medical history. Jeremy, future generations of ChatGPT will assist in each of these areas.
How will that happen, Robbie?
The announcement on memory was preceded by the introduction of specialized plugins known as GPTs. As the name implies, the GPTs facilitate rapid and easy download of information, whether for genetic screening, the medical literature, or the electronic healthcare record. But doing that every time a clinician sees a patient or an individual seeks medical care, that's cumbersome. And the combination of GPTs with AI memory, on the other hand, offers a promising workaround. The technology's current memory can't serve the needs of patients and doctors. ChatGPT's current, what's called context window, how many words it can recall before losing its memory, falls short of the nearly 17,000 words found in the average patient's medical record. However, predictions are that ChatGPT will double in power annually, becoming 32 times more powerful within the next 5 years, dramatically expanding its data retention capabilities and enhancing its reliability. Initially, generative AI might access a limited set of patient data through platforms like MyChart, which can be downloaded through home computers or smartphones. But in the future, the combination of GPTs and memory, they will enable patients to consolidate their digital medical records from various healthcare providers, both for their own use at home and for the use of by the various clinicians caring for them whenever and wherever they require medical care.
Can you be more specific about how that will impact clinical care?
Happy to do so, Jeremy. With this information stored in an AI's memory, patients will be able to input their symptoms and receive specific diagnostic and treatment suggestions. For people who are uncertain about the significance or urgency of new symptoms, the AI will provide reliable advice. And for patients with rare or complex conditions, it will offer invaluable second opinions to their physicians. Advanced diagnostic ability combined with comprehensive healthcare information would be instrumental in reducing the 400,000 annual deaths attributed to misdiagnoses and the additional 400,000 people who end up with severe long-term disability from misdiagnoses.
That sounds like a great opportunity. What's a second application?
Jeremy, chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, and asthma, they affect 6 in 10 U.S. adults. And their complications, those include heart attacks, strokes, cancer, and lower limb amputations, account for 1.7 million deaths each year. Unlike acute illnesses that appear suddenly and can usually be rapidly resolved with treatment, chronic conditions persist over time, impacting tens of millions of Americans every day. Caring for these conditions in a doctor's office, that's episodic and far from optimal. Patients with chronic disease typically see their physician at most, let's say, 3 or 4 times a year. As a result, doctors get only a snapshot of the patient's health status with little or no knowledge of what happens in between. Failure to achieve disease control is the consequence.
Can you provide an example?
At a national level, for example, hypertension is adequately controlled just 60% of the time. And effective blood sugar management in type 2 diabetes, that's achieved less than half the time. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC, it highlights the damage caused by poor disease management in the U.S. They point out that proper management can reduce the risk of blindness, kidney failure, and heart disease by 40%. Managing blood pressure effectively can lower the risk of heart attacks or strokes by 30 to 50%. Regular eye exams can prevent 90% of diabetes-related blindness. Foot exams and patient education could prevent 85% of diabetes-related leg amputations. And early treatment of diabetes-related kidney disease, that can reduce the need for dialysis by a third. Applying these percentages to the death toll from chronic disease complications in the United States, these CDC estimates suggest that more than 500,000 lives could be saved annually from prevented heart attacks, strokes, cancers, kidney failure, and infections.
How could generative AI make a difference?
Jeremy, generative AI has the potential to transform the management of chronic diseases by connecting with wearable devices, informing patients about their healthcare status, and suggesting medication adjustments or lifestyle changes. Wearable devices can accurately measure pulse, blood pressure, blood glucose, and blood oxygen. But nothing happens today with that information. Imagine if a patient has a monitor that says of the last 100 blood pressure measurements, 85 were normal, 10 were high, and 5 were borderline. What could the patient do with that information? Does the 85 mean that they're okay? Or the 10 tell them there's a problem? Their doctors don't want 100 blood pressure readings sent to their office, clogging up the electronic health records. And they certainly don't have the time in their busy day to analyze all the data. Generative AI can address the problem, particularly once doctors learn how to create GPTs capable of making these clinical determinations and informing patients the parameters by which things are well, things are improving, or things are getting worse, and the physician should be contacted. The technology will not only help with better management of chronic diseases, but it can also assist with prevention by reminding patients about necessary screening and even facilitating testing appointments and transportation. Taken together, these proactive approaches would greatly enhance disease prevention and management. They would reduce complications and improve health outcomes. Jeremy, just imagine what would happen to both the health of the nation and the affordability of medical care if 30% of heart attacks, strokes, cancers, kidney failures, and leg amputations were avoided.
What's a third example?
The most expensive part of the American healthcare system is hospital costs. These costs account for almost a third of total expense, and research shows that not only could costs be reduced, but outcomes could be improved if the 25% or so of current inpatients were treated at home. If someone's very sick and requiring constant monitoring and care, a hospital, that's the best place for them to be. But for individuals who are less sick, the risk of a preventable medical error, which currently kills 250,000 people a year, or the risk of developing delirium from the lack of sleep that results from the constant noise, lights, and disruption in a hospital, that's great. But despite extensive discussion about this opportunity, to use a hospital at home, evolution is incredibly slow.
How could generative AI play a role?
Jeremy, there are multiple reasons why people are kept in an inpatient facility when they could safely be cared for at home. One is the desire of hospital administrators to keep their beds full. A second, the inability of family members to provide the assistance required. But often the limiting factor is the need for clinical monitoring. And this is where generative AI could be effective. Whether using the wearable monitors that we just discussed or actual machines, the type that are at the bedside in a hospital, this technology could continuously evaluate whether a patient was improving as desired or deviating from the expected clinical improvement. Since most patients who are appropriate for a hospital at home do very well, a small number of nurses and doctors could be immediately available using telemedicine for a large number of patients, and they could immediately intervene should the generative AI tool identify that something might be amiss. In this way, problems could be identified and responded to even faster than the typical medical surgical inpatient unit.
How about in the hospital itself?
Jeremy, patients admitted to hospitals, especially those who are critically ill, face significant risks, and they're often cared for in a critical care unit, and there they have constant nursing oversight. But the majority of individuals in a hospital, they're not monitored continually by nurses, and problems can arise and they may be missed between the every 4 hour checks that typically happen. As a result, changes in blood pressure, alterations in pulse, or unexpected cardiac arrhythmias that, if identified, could be addressed before a life-threatening crisis happens, unfortunately, they are missed. ChatGPT, once integrated with wearable devices and bedside monitors, it could fill in the gaps and radically improve inpatient care and patient safety. Continuous monitoring, powered by AI's ability to remember and compare a patient's clinical status over time, that would allow the technology to immediately alert healthcare professionals. We're talking both nurses and doctors when a problem arises and it facilitate rapid intervention. Additionally, generative AI technology integrated with video monitoring could oversee the delivery of medical care, pinpointing any departures from established best practices. This real-time oversight would provide immediate alerts to caregivers, preventing medication mishaps and reducing the risk of infection and other life-threatening complications. And in this way, technology would help reduce the staggering 250,000 annual deaths attributable to preventable medical errors each year.
What are the first steps we need to take?
Jeremy, it's imperative for the medical community to begin to prepare for this evolution now. Medical school faculty should equip the next generation of healthcare professionals with the knowledge and the tools they will need to harness AI's full potential. And medical societies must create the educational tools both for clinicians and patients that they can use to achieve the best clinical results and outcomes. With memory and GPTs, the doctor's AI toolkit is quickly filling up.
How soon do you think these opportunities will be translated into daily practice?
While ChatGPT and similar technologies hold immense potential, it's essential, Jeremy, to understand that today's generative AI tools, they're not yet ready to be used in these powerful and transformative ways. They still require clinician supervision. Improvements will be required in reliability to ensure the accuracy of the recommendations. And of course, concerns safeguarding individual privacy, bias, and security will also need to be addressed. Still, the exponential growth of generative AI's capabilities, as we said, doubling every year with a 32 times increased power projected by a mere 5 years from now, it points to a transformative future for the practice of medicine. Jeremy, had you asked me this question a month ago, I would have estimated that we would see the first major innovative solutions in maybe, let's say, 3 to 4 years. In fact, when I wrote ChatGPT MD, I worried that I might be overly optimistic about how quickly we'd see generative AI permeate medical practice. Now I suspect, however, that I may have been overly conservative in my estimates.
Why do you say that, Robbie?
Jeremy, there's a couple of reasons. First, there's a broad evidence that the process of acceptance of the value of generative AI in medical care delivery is moving quickly. There's increasing proof of the accuracy of the generative AI tools in matching the ability of clinicians when it comes to diagnostic acumen. As an example, in a recent article in the Annals of Emergency Medicine, researchers provided emergency medicine physicians and ChatGPT with actual patient information, including history, physical exam findings, laboratory results, etc. And they found that the generative AI tool was 97% accurate in making the right diagnosis compared to 87% for the physicians. And in another study, was shown that generative AI could match the skills of doctors for a prestigious Boston hospital in making complex diagnoses. But before it's ready to substitute for humans, much more research on reliability and accuracy will be required. And second, in parallel, a survey of US physicians found that 40% of them were planning to use a generative AI tool in the coming year. This is a huge increase in acceptance from even 6 months ago. Of the doctors surveyed, 68% reported having changed their opinion about the technology over the past year and now believe that it will be beneficial in healthcare. More specifically, 81% said it would improve interactions with patients, compared to 3% who said it would not. Over half of the respondents said that it would save them 20% or more time in their day-to-day practice. And over two-thirds noted that it will allow them to move quickly and to search the medical literature in the future. But the biggest indicator of how rapid change was happening was the most recent announcement by NVIDIA, the world's most sophisticated chip manufacturer, that it was developing with Hippocratic, an AI company, a bot capable of providing medical advice to patients and offering clinical expertise.
That sounds remarkable, Robbie. What exactly did the company say?
Jeremy, in March, NVIDIA stunned the tech and healthcare industry with a flurry of headline-grabbing announcements at its 2024 GTC AI conference. The most striking was its collaboration with Hippocratic AI to launch generative AI agents. According to company-released data, the AI bots are 16% better than nurses at identifying a medication's impact on lab values. It's 24% more accurate detecting toxic dosages of over-the-counter drugs, 43% better identifying condition-specific negative interactions from over-the-counter meds, and all of that is available at a cost of only $9 an hour, and that would compare to the $39.05, which is the median hourly pay for U.S. nurses. According to the video, these AI nurse bots are designed to make new diagnoses, manage chronic disease, and give patients a detailed but clear explanation of what the clinician told them in the medical office. Now, let me be clear. This technology, it's not going to replace skilled, compassionate nurses in hospitals. But the technology will be able to augment the work they do and relieve some of the stress that's causing burnout to be a massive crisis for the healthcare profession. And assuming that scientific research studies confirm that the technology is as reliable as the company purports, it would be able to offer outpatient expertise to tens of millions of patients who don't have it today, similar to what nurses and call centers do provide currently.
What are the implications of this announcement, assuming the data is verified?
Jeremy, the first implication is that generative AI in healthcare is coming far faster than even I imagined. And the reason is the exponential growth and technological power that we mentioned earlier. The human brain can easily predict the rates of arithmetic and geometric growth, but even the most astute minds struggle to grasp the implications of continuous exponential growth. And that's what we're witnessing with generative AI. To help listeners understand what will be coming, imagine a pond with just one lily pad. Assuming the number of lilies will double every night, the entire pond will be blanketed in green, let's say in 50 days. Yet on day 43, what we see is that only 1% of the pond's surface was covered. And it would seem almost impossible to believe that just 7 days later, the lily pads will completely fill the pond. You know, even I, who studies this technology every day, I keep underestimating what exponential growth means. An annual doubling in power translates into the technology that's 32 times better in 5 years and 1,000 times more powerful in a decade. Of course, there are hurdles, ones that will need to be overcome: the availability of chips and a limited amount of information on which the application can be trained. But that trajectory would allow and translate into your car going as fast as a plane by 2030, and it would match the speed of a rocket ship a few years later. That's why I worry that if we wait until generative AI is fully ready for clinical application, the technology will drive the introduction to clinical practice rather than what I believe, that clinicians need to lead the way. I believe that now is the time to prepare for what's coming sooner than we realize.
What's the second implication of NVIDIA's announcement?
Jeremy, generative AI is vastly different from past AI models, and we shouldn't assume that the limitations of the past will doom generative AI's future. When assessing the transformative potential of generative AI in healthcare, it's crucial not to let these past failures, ones such as, let's say, IBM's Watson, cloud our expectations. IBM set out ambitious goals for Watson. The company hoped that Watson would revolutionize healthcare by assisting with diagnoses, treatment planning, and interpreting complex medical data for cancer patients. At the time, I was highly skeptical, not because the technology itself wasn't excellent, but because Watson relied on data from electronic medical records, and I thought they lacked the accuracy and specificity needed for this type of narrow AI tool to make reliable diagnoses and recommendations. In contrast, generative AI leverages a broader and more useful array of sources. It not only pulls from published peer-reviewed medical journals and textbooks, but also will be able to integrate real-time information from global health databases, ongoing clinical trials, and medical conferences. It will soon incorporate continuous feedback loops from actual patient encounters, comparing clinical outcomes with the clinician orders and interventions. This extensive data source will allow generative AI to continuously stay at the forefront of medical knowledge, making it fundamentally different from its predecessors.
Does that mean that its use in medicine is just around the corner?
Again, Jeremy, based on our company's announcement, without independent data review, there's no way to be sure. Before it's ready for unsupervised use by patients, technological advances will be required to eliminate the hallucinations that have been pointed out and avoid providing misinformation. These problems, they remain worrisome. In all generative AI tools, and we're talking about OpenAI's GPT-4, Google's Gemini, Anthropic's Claude, but still, NVIDIA's bold entry into healthcare, I believe it signals a long overdue willingness among tech companies to navigate the legal and regulatory hurdles of healthcare. And once an AI clinician chatbot is available, I'm confident that multiple other companies will quickly follow.
Robbie, what is a final learning when it comes to generative AI?
Jerry, most people underestimate how ubiquitous generative AI will be in healthcare. I believe it will be a central part of medical practice in the home, in the office, and in the hospital. The concept of assessing medical advice and expertise continuously, affordably, reliably, and conveniently, around the clock, this represents such a departure from current healthcare models that it's easy for our minds to dismiss it as far-fetched. Yet it's becoming increasingly clear that these capabilities are not just possible, but they're likely and even imminent. Daily, I receive feedback from both clinicians and patients who've interacted with generative AI tools. The majority report that their responses, particularly when prompted effectively, align closely with clinician recommendations. This is a testament to the evolving accuracy and reliability of generative AI in healthcare settings, and it promises a revolution in medical care delivery in the near future. Jeremy, many people worry now that doctors will rely on generative AI making medical errors and providing misdiagnoses as a consequence. In the future, I predict that the biggest fear patients will have That will be that the clinicians taking care of them won't include generative AI in the care delivery process. Without question, the triad of a dedicated clinician, an empowered patient, generative AI will be dramatically better than any one of the three. The only questions that remain are whether it will take 3 or 5 years, and if the process of transformation will be led by clinicians inside medicine, by others outside of it. Jeremy, we're on the cusp of a major shift where generative AI will become as integral to healthcare as smartphones have been to daily life.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast and will tell your friends and colleagues about it. Please follow Fixing Healthcare on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. If you like the show, please rate it 5 stars and leave a review. Visit our website at fixinghealthcarepodcast.com and unfollow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at Fixing HC Podcast. Thank you for listening to Fixing Healthcare, Diving Deep with Dr. Robert Pearl and Jeremy Corr. Have a great day.